Chapter 18. Lan Zhan stares at the door for a while, Wei Ying's scarf clutched tightly in his hands. He puts the scarf down. He picks it back up. He puts it down again, and wanders back into the kitchen. The ginger still waits on the counter, along with onion and lemongrass and garlic. He stares at the ingredients for a while, because they were out for a reason, but the reason escapes him. There's a pot on the stove, and that finally reminds him he was going to make soup. That's what was happening. Lan Zhan nods to himself, and, for lack of anything else to do, starts peeling the ginger. Lan Zhan is aware, deep inside himself, that he's dissociating. He just doesn't want to address why right at the moment, so he watches himself slice ginger from far away. It's calm here, at least. Lan Zhan sweats the aromatics in the pot, along with the chicken spines he bought specifically for this recipe, covers the whole thing with water, and sets it to simmer, all in a trance-like state. It'll need to stay like that for at least an hour, which is why he started on dinner so early in the first place. Ideally, it'd go for 2 hours, he muses distantly, while he washes the knife. But he just wants the flavor and not the collagen from the bones. The important thing is that it's done early enough for the rest of his plan, and that Wei Ying likes it. Wei Ying. Wei Ying. Lan Zhan feels himself crack down the middle, the protective shell falling away, and he clenches his hands on the edge of the sink to keep himself upright. Wei Ying. When he inhales, it's harsh, jagged rocks catching in his lungs, and when he exhales, it comes out a sob. He fucked it up. He fucked it all up. Why did it go so wrong? Why is he like this, struggling with words to the point that Wei Ying left? This is just what he always expected would happen, deep down. He wanted too much, and ruined everything. Crying into the sink is uncomfortable, and Lan Zhan's legs don't particularly want to hold him up. He manages to make it to the couch before he collapses, curling into a ball and sobbing so hard he wonders if his ribs will break. And if that would be a distraction from feeling like this. He scrabbles for tissues when his nose starts running, wipes his eyes, and stares blearily at the coffee table. His phone is there, next to the sleeves for Wei Ying's sweater, the sleeves that only have 2 inches to go before he can cast off, and he chokes out another burning sob. It takes a couple of tries, because his hands are shaking, but Lan Zhan manages to open his messaging app. To Ni Hoi Song. Are you sure the sweater cuirass isn't real? ? I'm sure. You just spelled a word wrong. Are you okay? Lan Zhan is too tired and scraped raw to try and obfuscate. He tells the truth. No. Lan Zhan almost drops his phone when it starts ringing, and he thinks, for a wild, hopeful moment, that it might be Wei Ying. That hope plummets back down when the caller ID displays Ni Huaisong's contact information instead, and Lan Zhan swallows resolutely and swipes to answer.
Lan Zhan?
Ni Huaisong asks, worry obvious, even over the connection.
What's going on?
Lan Zhan's breath hitches in another cramping stab. Oh, he hadn't thought this through, had he?
He starts,
voice rough. He has to swallow twice before he can manage, thickly. He left.
Wei Ying?
Nihuai Song says, sounding utterly bewildered. And Lan Zhan sobs again, the sound tearing out of him.
Okay,
Nihuai Song says, gentle but firm.
Okay, Lan Zhan, buddy, just breathe for a second. In and out.
It takes almost a full minute, maybe two, but Lan Zhan manages, with Nihuai Song's help, to drag himself back from the edge of a panic attack. Nihuai Song talks him through getting a glass of water, and Lan Zhan curls up back on the couch, shivering under Wei Ying's throw blanket, and sips at it.
Better?
Nihuai Song asks. Lan Zhan nods, remembers they're on the phone, and makes an affirmative sound.
Okay,
Nihuai Song says.
And why don't you tell me what happened?
Lan Zhan does. It takes a while, with many pauses for Lan Zhan to catch his breath, or wipe his face, or just find his fucking useless, slippery words. But eventually he spills the whole story. Wei Ying's increasing workload, and Lan Zhan's worry, and his delayed plan to bring it up, and the horrible fight. Lan Zhan thinks he should have been able to prevent it, somehow, and can't figure out what he should have done differently. Nihuai Song is a patient listener, making soothing sounds at all the right places, asking clarifying questions when they need to, never once making Lan Zhan feel like a fool for his stumbling explanation. And then he left, Lan Zhan finishes, feeling hollowed out down to the marrow. He said he wanted to find someone who was excited for him, and he left. Saying it out loud is like pressing on a fresh bruise, a masochistic pain he thinks he deserves. He swallows and adds, voice wavering and small, I don't know what to do.
Okay, Ajahn,
Nihuai Song says, like they're trying to soothe a frightened animal.
First of all, I'm calling you Ajahn now, because I think we're at that level. Secondly, did Wei Ying pack anything?
No. Lan Zhan rubs his burning eyes and bites his lower lip on another broken breath. He didn't even take his scarf, he whispers. It's raining. He's been every day since he didn't take it.
I'm pretty sure he didn't intend that as a statement,
Nihuai Song says, with some authority.
But more importantly, if he didn't pack anything, then he's definitely coming back.
Hope rises up in Lan Zhan's chest, feeling uncomfortably like heartburn. How do you know? He asks, trying not to sound too desperate.
Because I know what Wei Ying does when he leaves for good.
Nihuai Song's voice is so certain, Lan Zhan's hope/heartburn kicks up a notch.
If he didn't want to come back to you, he'd have taken a bag. Like, he'd at least have taken his computer. Our girl isn't the best at planning ahead, but there's no way he'd head out with only the clothes on his back.
They pause, a quiet huff of breath mixing with the static.
And he loves you, Ajahn.
The hope/heartburn twists, tight in Lan Zhan's diaphragm. What if love isn't enough? He whispers. His father loved his mother. He knows this. But that didn't make their relationship healthy. It didn't keep his mother from getting sick. It didn't keep his father from leaving, in the end. Lan Zhan will love Wei Ying until he dies. But that doesn't mean he'll get to keep him.
It isn't always,
Nihuai Song agrees easily.
but you two are fucking disgusting about it. Listen, Weiying isn't always the best at understanding what's going on in his own head, and it sounds like he's been sleep-deprived and stressed as fuck. I love him, but he can be a mean little shit when he's under pressure. He's like his brother that way.
Lanjian makes an offended noise on Weiying's behalf, because Zhengchong has no place in this conversation. Nihuai Song laughs into the phone.
You might not want to admit it, but we both know I'm right. Anyway,
Nihuai Song sighs.
You reacted badly to what he thought was good news, and he was right to be hurt by that, but I can guarantee if he'd been sleeping well, he wouldn't have blown up at you.
If he was sleeping well, this wouldn't have been an issue in the first place, Lanjian can't help pointing out. The tight band of worry around his ribs loosens with every word Nihuai Song says, reassurance and rationality slowly prizing it free.
Yeah, well, if we had universal basic income, this wouldn't be an issue either,
Nihuai Song says wryly.
I don't know what to tell you, Ajahn. Fights happen even in the best relationships, because people aren't perfect.
Lanjian says. He sits with that a moment, acutely aware of his lack of examples for what healthy relationships even look like. He left, he says, so quietly he doesn't know if Nihuai Song will even hear it.
He was over the top mad and has ADHD,
Nihuai Song says, sounding a little exhausted on Lanjian's behalf.
Sometimes we need to move to process stuff, Lanjian.
They pause, static crackling on the line.
You know, I look at you, sitting quietly with your own thoughts, able to actually think them without fidgeting all the time. And I wonder how the fuck that even works.
Not consistently, Lanjian admits, and gets an actual belly laugh in response, along with a thump and a scrabbling sound.
Fuck,
Nihuai Song says, still amused.
You made me drop my phone, Ajahn. You're a menace.
So Weiying tells me, Lanjian replies, the fist around his heart squeezing when he says the name. He takes another slow, deep breath, shutting his eyes. You really think he'll come back?
I know it,
Nihuai Song says. Full of such confidence, Lanjian starts to believe it, too.
Just talk to him, they add, warm and kind. You two are good for each other, because you choose to be good to each other. Keep making that choice, and you'll be okay.
Lanjian feels another tear slip down his cheek, and he swipes it away. You told me you don't do relationships like this, he says. Where is this advice coming from?
Oh, polyamorous people talk about their feelings, like, all the fucking time, Ajahn,
they say breezily.
It's our number one conversation, right after Google Calendar scheduling.
Lanjian makes a noise into the phone that's almost a laugh, and Nihuai Song hums, pleased.
Are you okay? Do you need anything else? I can come over with hard seltzer and greasy pizza.
I believe both of those options would make me feel worse, Lanjian says. Quite honestly. But I am, he pauses to find the right word, settled now. Another pause, this one shorter, before he finishes. Thank you, Ah-Song.
Anytime,
Nihuai Song says.
I'm rooting for you, Ajahn.
Thank you, Lanjian says, a gentle affection rolling over him like a breeze. Good night.
Night,
Nihui Song says, and there's a fumbling sound as the line goes dead. Lan Zhan sets his phone on his chest and breathes for a little while, eyes shut. He's still aching and hollow and crawling with worry, but it's no longer overwhelming. He thinks he can handle it for a little while. He can handle it until Wei Ying gets back. Lan Zhan gets up and straightens the couch. He checks on the soup and adjusts the burner. He preps the rest of the ingredients, so once Wei Ying gets home, he'll be ready to add them for the 20 minutes or so it will take to cook. He gets a load of laundry going, and when the silence of the house becomes too much to bear, he puts on an album of electronica by a Chinese musician who incorporates traditional instruments. Worry thrums through him the whole time, a background buzzing behind his eyes. Lan Zhan keeps checking the clock, and then looking out the window, where miserable, pounding rain keeps battering the glass. He paces up and down the hall a few times, then pauses on one circuit to grab a couple of extra towels from the closet and stash them in the entryway. He hopes Wei Ying is warm and safe at a cafe, or pretending to browse at a grocery store. Anything to get him out of the storm. There's no harm in being overprepared, though. He tries to knit, just for something to do with his hands, but knitting is so bound up in Wei Ying that he gets maybe 15 stitches into a row and has to stop before he starts crying again. He braids and unbraids his hair out of an abundance of nervous energy and watches the flash of blue go in and out of view. Wei Ying put that there, he reminds himself. Wei Ying is coming back. Lan Zhan just has to wait for him, and he's waited so long already. He can wait a little longer. He tells himself this until he almost believes it, an anxious mantra that bleeds off enough of his worry that it doesn't overwhelm him. He's just swimming in it instead of drowning in it, and right now, that's enough. The stock has been simmering for a little over an hour and a half. Not that Lan Zhan has been obsessively checking the time, when he hears a sound at the door, and basically launches himself off the couch like an Olympic gymnast at the vault. He lurches into the entryway at the same time that Wei Ying opens the door, and they stare at each other in a shocked silence for a breath.
Wei Ying,
Lan Zhan says, eyes roaming up and down his body, wild with his desire to make sure Wei Ying is safe and whole. He came back. He came back. Relief blooms, fighting the worry in his veins so viscerally he aches with it. Lan Zhan, Wei Ying says, his voice quiet, his body pulled in on itself. He steps inside and shuts the door behind him, wrapping his arms over his chest. Lan Zhan thinks, for a moment, that Wei Ying is ashamed, or embarrassed, or maybe still angry and trying to avoid Lan Zhan's gaze. Then Wei Ying shivers violently, and Lan Zhan's brain processes what his eyes are trying to tell him. Wei Ying is soaked to the skin, dripping on the tile floor, his hair plastered to his head with rainwater. His skin is ice white, his lips purple blue. All of the nebulous worry in Lan Zhan's chest coalesces to a single, blade-sharp point.
Wei Ying,
he says, grabbing one of the towels and wrapping it around him, hands shaking with urgency.
You're freezing.
Fine,
Wei Ying gets out through chattering teeth, and the worry blade in Lan Zhan's chest twists a little as he rubs at Wei Ying's hair,
probably too roughly, but unable to stop.
You are not,
he snaps, abandoning the towel where it's tented over his boyfriend's head, and unzipping his jacket with determination. At least Wei Ying was wearing the down jacket underneath the leather one, and his torso was only barely damp. Small favors. He strips the jackets off efficiently, and drops to his knees to start working on Wei Ying's boots.
Lan Chan,
Wei Ying says, plaintive.
Lan Chan, I need to...
You need to get warm,
Lan Chan bulldozes, convincing Wei Ying's unsteady leg to lift so he can yank off the soaked boot. He repeats the process with the other one, and then unzips his jeans, having to literally peel the sopping wet denim off Wei Ying's goose-bumped, chilled pale legs. He takes the underwear and socks with him while he's at it, grabs the second towel, and starts chafing some color back into Wei Ying's skin.
Lan Chan,
Wei Ying tries, tugging him back to standing, and Lan Chan continues to ignore him, and strips off the t-shirt and the thermal undershirt. At least those are mostly dry, the core of him still warm. Lan Chan wraps one of the towels around him, and bodily steers him toward their bedroom, in literally the least sexy way he has ever steered a naked Wei Ying toward their bedroom.
Lan Chan, we need to talk.
We can talk when your body temperature is no longer dangerously low,
Lan Chan says, in a dangerously low voice as he drags him into the bathroom. He holds Wei Ying by the shoulders and gives him a direct, pointed glare.
Get in the shower. If you do not spend at least 20 minutes in there, I will make you get back in.
Are you going to be timing me?
Wei Ying asks, half defiant, half serious. He's still shivering, the tremors harsh against Lan Zhan's palms.
Yes, Lan Zhan bites out, and shoves him at the shower door. Go.
Wei Ying goes. Lan Zhan watches him long enough to hear him swear violently at the touch of hot water on his frozen skin, and then stalks back out to the kitchen. He strains the solids out of his chicken stock and gets the pot boiling again, adding the rest of the ingredients and giving it a stir. He paces around the kitchen, gets a bowl out of the cupboard, and sets it on the counter next to the soup pot. He brews a thermos full of a gingery tisane, all full of warming herbs and spices, and sets it out next to a mug. He gets Wei Ying's wet clothes out of the entryway and hangs them in the hall bathroom to drip dry before they go into the hamper, locating his rain-damp phone in the process and setting it neatly on the coffee table. He goes into the bedroom and lays out Wei Ying's warmest pajamas, a pair of wool socks, and the bathrobe he stole from Lan Zhan shortly after moving in. After that, he just paces, a crystallized worry jittering through his veins and demanding movement. The shower shuts off, the sudden absence of that white noise ringing in Lan Zhan's ears. He checks the time reflexively. It's been 22 minutes since Wei Ying got into the shower. Satisfactory. Lan Zhan tests the soup, finds that everything is appropriately cooked through, and ladles up a bowl. By the time Wei Ying slips into the living room, hair damp, bundled up in his bathrobe and silent as a ghost, the bowl and a mug of tea wait for him on the table, steam curling into the air.
Lan Zhan, he starts.
Eat. It's not a request, it's an order. And Wei Ying's eyes narrow, flicking between him and the table.
Have you eaten yet?
He asks, and Lan Zhan's silence is apparently all the answer Wei Ying needs. He folds his arms
and meets Lan Zhan's glare with his own. I'll eat if you eat. Lan Zhan glowers at him, the silence stretching between them like a string being tuned. Wei Ying lifts his chin, not looking away, determination on every inch of his face. Fine, Lan Zhan says, finally, and fills another bowl for himself. They eat in icy silence, the music Lan Zhan put on earlier not doing anything to lower the tension. Lan Zhan realizes partway through his bowl that Wei Ying is exactly matching his bites to Lan Zhan's, not a drop more or less, and the worry blade in his chest spurs him to eat the whole fucking bowl and drink the broth dry. It is, he notes distantly, good soup. It's good, Wei Ying says, unintentionally echoing Lan Zhan's thoughts. Thank you for cooking. Lan Zhan says, without inflection, and he leans across the table to press the back of his hand to Wei Ying's forehead, his cheek, the hollow of his throat. Wei Ying lets him, leaning in to make it easier, and his skin is warm and alive against Lan Zhan's hand, and the sharp, pointed concern that's fueled him since he saw Wei Ying in the doorway suddenly dissolves into a furious flood, and some of it comes out of Lan Zhan's eyes. Oh, he realizes, abruptly. Oh, he's not just worried. He's angry. Lan Zhan, Wei Ying says, catching his wrist when he goes to pull it away, his face pink flushed from the shower and the soup, all concern. You left, Lan Zhan says, his voice cracking. He swipes at his eyes with his free hand, shuddering, wanting to shake Wei Ying until his teeth clack together, at the same time that he wants to wrap Wei Ying up safe in his arms and never let him go. You know you're susceptible to the cold. You didn't take your scarf. You left. Oh, baby, Wei Ying says, scrambling out of his seat and around the table to pull Lan Zhan in against his stomach. I know. I wasn't thinking straight. I didn't leave it on purpose. I'm so sorry. I was so worried, Lan Zhan cries into the robe, breath hitching. There's a fight happening in his chest, because he's furious at Wei Ying for endangering himself and leaving Lan Zhan alone, and he desperately wants Wei Ying to comfort him, and he's never had to try and reconcile feelings like that before. The soft animal part of him wins out, and he clutches the back of Wei Ying's robe and presses himself close and lets himself breathe in the warmth of his girlfriend's body. I'm sorry, Wei Ying says, again, squeezing him tight. I acted like such an asshole, babe. I'm so, so sorry.
You're not an asshole,
Lan Zhan starts, his mouth reacting to Wei Ying's self-deprecation before his brain can catch up, and Wei Ying pulls back and cups his face solemnly. No, he says, cutting Lan Zhan off. Don't try and make me feel better when I really did legitimately act like an asshole. I fucked up here, and I need to apologize, and I need you to actually let me do it, okay? Wei Ying's eyes are red-rimmed, and his face is serious, mouth a tight line. Lan Zhan looks up at him for another breath. So glad to have him back. So angry at him for leaving. And he nods. Okay, Wei Ying says, his face going soft and regretful. He pats Lan Zhan on the cheek. Go sit on the couch, sweetie. Lan Zhan obeys,
curling into himself and watching intently as Wei Ying ferries their dishes to the sink and fills two mugs from a thermos, as though Wei Ying might disappear if he so much as blinks. He hands one to Lan Zhan and settles on the other end of the couch, tucked up in a ball, and stares at his mug for a long moment. Lan Zhan takes a sip, ginger, cinnamon, and clove coating the inside of his mouth, and waits for him to marshal his thoughts. "I said some really shitty things to you," Wei Ying starts, looking up to meet Lan Zhan's gaze, eyes full of regret. "I'm sorry. I didn't mean any of it, I swear. I was upset. But that was mostly about my own shit, not about you, and I should never have taken it out on you like that." He rubs his face with one hand, massaging his eyes. "Fuck, babe. I am so fucking sorry for what I said." Lan Zhan wants to accept Wei Ying's apology and put the whole thing behind them. He wants this to be done. He wants them not to be fighting anymore, and it's tempting to simply push down his feelings and pretend they're gone. He wants to. Instead of that, he takes another sip of tea, nods once to show he's listening, and says nothing. Wei Ying drops his hand from his face and leans his head back into the couch. "I called Jie," he says, to the room at large. "She listened very patiently while I cried in her ear for 15 minutes, and then, so sweetly, said, 'It sounded like I'd been under a lot of pressure lately, and had I spoken to my therapist about it?'" He laughs, once, and it's almost actually humor. "Lan Zhan," he says, lifting his head, "I haven't seen my therapist in a month and a half, and I had to tell Jijie that, and she asked me why, and I said it was because I've been too busy." Lan Zhan tries to keep his face entirely blank, because he doesn't think he can react without it being condescending. Wei Ying sees something there, regardless, and he nods in agreement. "Yeah, that came out of my mouth, and it was like," he gestures eloquently, "fuck." The sigh that follows comes from Wei Ying's toes, and he pinches his nose. "If I had been seeing my therapist, she would have had some pretty strong words for me about some of my coping mechanisms and how they weren't actually helping me, but I was too deep in said coping mechanisms to see it." In spite of himself, Lan Zhan makes an encouraging noise, because he's familiar with a lot of Wei Ying's coping mechanisms, and he doesn't know what he means this time. Thankfully, Wei Ying takes that as the opening it is, and inhales deeply, clearly settling in for a while. "So I figured out during my almost homeless days that if I stay busy enough, during the winter especially, I don't get depressed, because I don't have time." Wei Ying gives Lan Zhan a long-suffering look, one that Lan Zhan understands is directed inward. "It's definitely better for me than moping in a depression hole and drinking, but that doesn't mean it's good for me, since, as you rightfully pointed out, it doesn't leave me a lot of time for eating or sleeping either." He shakes his head and sips at his tea. "I didn't even notice it was happening, because I was so excited about all the photography. But Jijie started asking about how I'd been sleeping, and God, it was so fucking obvious once I thought about it." "You don't take days off," Lan Zhan says, trying not to make it sound like an accusation. "I don't," Wei Ying agrees. You were totally fucking right. Everything you said was right, and I was too pissed off to hear it.
He looks miserable. He looks as bad as Lan Zhan felt when Wei Ying left. And some of the lingering hurt melts away from the glacier in Lan Zhan's heart.
I reacted badly, Lan Zhan admits, daring to stretch out one leg and brush his toes against the hem of Wei Ying's robe. I had been trying to bring it up for a week. I wanted to talk about it tonight, over dinner.
He inhales the warm steam from his mug and sighs.
That was not how I wanted the conversation to go.
Oh no, Wei Ying says, understanding dawning in his tired eyes. Oh, fuck, you were working yourself up to it, and I just came out and threw a stick in the spokes of your bike right as you were getting up to speed.
Lan Zhan nods. I am proud of you, he says, and this time he can say with sincerity. The magazine job is very exciting, and I am so proud of you, Wei Ying.
Thank you, Wei Ying says, scooching his foot out from under his robe to meet Lan Zhan's. I appreciate it. I'm sorry I didn't believe you earlier.
He groans into his palm and scrubs his face again, the exhaustion written into every line of him now that he's allowing himself to feel it.
I've been all up in my head about a lot of shit lately, and I unloaded it all on you in the worst way possible, and I'm so fucking sorry.
Thank you, Lan Zhan says, a little more of the glacier chipping away.
He looks at his boyfriend, right there, spinning out his deepest vulnerabilities so Lan Zhan can see them, and he makes a decision.
Lan Zhan sets his mug aside and spreads himself out on the couch, arms wide and inviting. Come here, he says. Talk to me, my love.
Wei Ying hesitates, like he's not sure of his welcome. But after a quiet, agonizing moment, he puts down his tea and crawls across the cushions into Lan Zhan's embrace. Lan Zhan pulls him in, hugs him tight in the cradle of his legs, and after another tense breath, Wei Ying goes soft all at once, hands clutching at Lan Zhan's sweater, face burrowing into his neck. His breath hitches under Lan Zhan's hands, and hot tears hit his skin.
I'm sorry, Wei Ying cries into his neck. I'm so sorry. I was such a shit, and I was so afraid I ruined everything. I'm such a fucking mess sometimes, and I didn't want you to see it, and I'm so sorry.
Lan Zhan hugs him close, every word and stifled sob chipping away at the ice around his heart.
You came back, he says, letting himself settle into the truth of it.
I was scared you wouldn't want me to, Wei Ying confesses. He sounds like he's wringing the words out of himself with tight hands. I needed to move and think. And then I was 10 blocks away in the rain when I realized what I'd done. And then I had to stay out there while I figured out what I was going to say to fix it. I'm sorry, I'm sorry.
You came back, Lan Zhan says, again, kissing the top of Wei Ying's head, where his hair is drying, frizzy, and rumpled. I will always want you to come back.
Wei Ying shudders violently, and he curls even tighter against Lan Zhan, like he's trying to climb inside his ribcage. Lan Zhan holds him through it, stroking his back, and kisses his temple.
Talk to me, he asks, soft. Talk to me about your mess.
Okay, Wei Ying says, in the complaining tone Lan Zhan loves. It's so... You're gonna think I'm a fucking useless doorknob when I say it out loud. Possibly. Lan Zhan scritches Wei Ying's head and makes an encouraging sound instead of saying so. It was a lot of things, like primarily fucking winter, but also, Wei Ying sighs. I've been struggling with some shit since we moved in together, and it's not your fault at all, but it's kinda about you. And I didn't want to talk about it because it was my shit, and it turns out not talking about it didn't help, which I could have told myself if I wasn't being such a dingus. Lan Zhan makes a noise in protest, completely involuntary, and Wei Ying wiggles around until he's laying on his side and puts a hand over Lan Zhan's mouth. It's not you, he says, so firmly Lan Zhan actually believes it. It's my bullshit, all the way down, okay? Lan Zhan nods, a little reluctantly, and Wei Ying drops his hand to Lan Zhan's peck and pets it in little circles. A lot of it is money feelings, he admits. I know the way we split the bills is fair and logical and all that good shit, but I still feel like I'm not pulling my weight, since my share is smaller than yours. And the wedding booth gigs are such good money that I was like, yes, I can finally catch up. I wanted to be on your level or something. Wei Ying laughs, shaking his head. Local disowned orphan remains fucked up about money. Full story tonight at 11. Lan Zhan aggressively swallows down his urge to argue, because he doesn't want to take the chance of Wei Ying being derailed from this. If he can just let Wei Ying talk, allow him to peel back his skin and pour the bloody contents of his body out into the open, maybe they'll actually have a chance to fix it. Maybe Wei Ying won't hurt so much next time. He makes a sound he hopes is soothing, and squeezes Wei Ying's hip, meaning, go on. I also felt like I needed to take every gig, because what if they were temporary? Wei Ying rolls his eyes. Congratulations, me, on finding such a succinct way to sum up my abandonment issues, but it's like you put 7-year-old me down at a buffet and told me I could have anything I wanted. I'd make myself sick, and I absolutely have. You gotta grab whatever you can, when you can, so you'll still have something when it's gone again. He heaves a sigh. God, if Chung Chung could hear me say that, he'd punch me. But there it is. I will not let Zhang Chung punch you, Lan Zhan says immediately. And Wei Ying laughs, an actual laugh, hand coming up to pat Lan Zhan's face. Thanks, babe, he says. The punch would probably be metaphorical, but I appreciate it. Wei Ying's voice trails off, and he takes a couple deep breaths before he says, speaking of working for Zheng Chang. He drops his hand back to Lan Zhan's shoulder and pushes himself upright, struggling to his knees, hands on Lan Zhan for balance. He starts, staring at Lan Zhan's left ear. This next part isn't, like, a hint or anything, but... He chews his lower lip, eyes darting to Lan Zhan's, and then away. Working all these weddings made me start thinking about them in a more, personal way. Maybe. Lan Zhan is aware, logically, that discussing this directly after a fight is probably not the sensible decision. The logical part of him is immediately overwhelmed by a fierce wave of joy, pushing up from his diaphragm so hard it's difficult to breathe for a moment. Wei Ying, he whispers. You want to get him? Wei Ying claps a hand over his mouth, panicked. Shh,
he hisses, eyes darting around their living room. We can't use the M word or the W word in the specific, or Jung Chong will teleport here and break both of our legs.
Lan Zhan gives him a questioning look, and Wei Ying nods at him, wide-eyed.
I swear he will, he says, insistent. He's scary.
Lan Zhan cannot argue with this characterization, though he's pretty sure Zhang Chong cannot spontaneously manifest the ability to teleport. He nods, slowly, and Wei Ying drops his hand. So I've been working weddings for other people, and I realized how fucking expensive they are, Lan Zhan. They cost so much. People are out here spending house down payment money on one big party, and I...
His voice catches, and Wei Ying covers his face with his hands, flushing.
I got worried that if there was ever a personal W word in my future, I wouldn't be able to contribute, he confesses. And that got all tied up in my other brain stuff about being a burden on you. So I've been shoving all my photo booth paychecks into savings so I could, like, surprise you, I guess?
Wei Ying,
Lan Zhan says, finally giving in to his impulses, and catching his girlfriend's wrists, tugging them away from his face, and pressing a kiss to each palm.
Wei Ying, I would ma-
Wei Ying gives him a stricken look, and Lan Zhan stifles a sigh and continues,
I would M-word you at City Hall with only Ni Huai Song to witness it, and I would be happy.
Theoretically, Wei Ying clarifies, looking around again, presumably for a teleporting Zhang Chong. In the future.
Theoretically, in the future,
Lan Zhan agrees, and gently tows Wei Ying back down until he curls up against his chest, where he belongs.
That was not a proposal, he adds,
because he does want to propose, and he intends to make it very romantic when he does.
If it was a proposal, I would make that clear.
Noted, Wei Ying says, rubbing his face back and forth on Lan Zhan's sweater. He goes quiet, body a little too tense for Lan Zhan to believe he's actually done talking. Lan Zhan pets down his spine in long, heavy strokes and settles in to wait. Relating to the, you know, M-word stuff. I'm really sorry about that wife thing I said.
He turns his face into Lan Zhan's chest, obviously trying to hide, and Lan Zhan lets him, because this is hard enough for Wei Ying, and he won't make him say whatever he needs to say to Lan Zhan's face.
I know that's not how you think of me, and there's nothing wrong with being a house spouse. It's just...
His hand tightens on Lan Zhan's hip, his shoulders drawing up.
I want it, sometimes. I want to be your housewife. I want to just stop working and let you take care of me and be here when you get home and have my only responsibility be making you happy. I want to wear a cute little apron and have dinner ready when you leave work and look pretty while you fuck me every night and never need to worry about anything.
Wei Ying inhales shakily.
Want it so bad, and it scares me that part of me is willing to give up all the independence I fought for so easily, and then I projected that all over you, because it's easier to be mad at someone else than it is to look at my own head sometimes.
The vision of Wei Ying in a 50s American housewife dress flashes through Lan Zhan's mind. The A-line skirt, and the pearl necklace, and the embroidered apron. And it's frankly startling how into it he is. Possessiveness rolling over him like a breaker hitting the shore. He wants that, too. Wants Wei Ying to be his, and only his. Tucked away safely in their home, where no one else can touch him. Where no harm can come to him. He understands his father. Abruptly, in a way he never had before,
and Lanjian lets himself sit with that knowledge for a moment, for he pushes it aside with the mental note to discuss it with Lan Yi.
If you want that, Lanjian says carefully, we could do it. We could find a way if... He pauses, swallows. If it would make you happy.
I knew you'd say that, Wei Ying grumbles into his sweater. He pushes upright and swipes at his eyes, a pearl pattern lightly embedded in one cheek. I want it like I want to eat instant noodles and spicy chips for all my meals, he says, finding one of Lanjian's hands and cradling it in both of his. It sounds nice, but it wouldn't actually be good for me, Gaga. I need to be doing things, and I'm definitely not there yet with, he waves at his temple, to be able to handle not having my own money, you know?
Lanjian says, kissing Wei Ying's knuckles. I understand. But, if you want it.
He takes a deep breath and sketches out what he wants to say before he comes back for the final version.
What we decide now doesn't have to be what we decide forever.
Wei Ying looks at him with wet eyes, his face broken open and beautiful.
Okay, he says, wavering. Okay. And then, Lanjian, I don't know what I'm fucking doing.
He holds on tight to Lanjian's hand with one of his, grabs his shoulder with the other, and gives him a frantic shake.
I love you so much, and I know I talk a big game with all my therapy, but I've never actually been in a relationship with anyone like this before, and I don't know what I'm doing.
Lanjian laughs before he can stop himself, shaking his head.
That makes two of us, he says, a little wildly.
Wei Ying laughs too, wet and bewildered.
God, he says, really something, aren't we? I'm drunk and you lost the map. And we're just tripping all over ourselves as we go.
Lanjian says, getting his breathing back under control. He strokes his thumb over the back of Wei Ying's hand.
We were not raised with good examples.
Holy fuck, are you ever right? Wei Ying says fervently. My best relationship role models are Jijie and the Peacock. And like hell am I ever going to admit I have anything to learn from him.
He sighs, blowing his hair out of his eyes, which proves immediately to be a futile effort, as red and purple half obscures his face. Jijie says they went to a lot of couples therapy, which makes sense, because can you fucking imagine having Jin Guangshan as your dad?
I'd rather be an orphan, thanks.
Would you like to try that?
Lanjian asks, his own surprise. Wei Ying blinks at him a couple of times, so apparently Lanjian's not the only one surprised by this turn of events. It's also possible he's just confused as to what Lanjian means, so he clarifies.
Couples therapy?
Wei Ying hedges. Maybe? You want to? Lanjian kisses his knuckles again and leaves his mouth close enough to brush the skin.
I have a very smart girlfriend who once recommended I go to solo therapy, he says softly. It has been very helpful. I think this might help, too.
Wei Ying stares at him for a moment, that cracked open look. Like Lanjian has unlocked something secret that's now stretching toward the sun.
Yeah, he breathes. Yeah, I think so.
A shiver rolls over him, head to toe, and his eyes focus again. Not right away. Give me at least a month to get going again with my own therapist and catch up on sleep, okay?
Okay,
Lanjian says. And Wei Ying smiles at him, a candle flame in the darkness, And what can Lan Zhan do but reel him in and kiss that smiling mouth? Weying sighs against him, arms coming up to twine around Lan Zhan's neck, and they lose themselves in each other, relief singing sweetly between them. Weying tastes like cloves and cinnamon. Lan Zhan is greedy for it, greedy for him. It's very tempting to continue, to tangle his tongue with Wei Ying's until they fall asleep mid-kiss. But they're not actually done. The unfinished part of the conversation is like a hangnail catching on clothing, refusing to be ignored. And Lan Zhan takes one more taste of his boyfriend, and reluctantly pulls away.
Wei Ying, sweetheart,
he says, over Wei Ying's barely there whine of complaint. His voice is serious enough to draw Wei Ying back from wherever his brain went, and he braces on Lan Zhan's chest and gives Lan Zhan his full attention.
What are you going to do?
This question is vague and perhaps not the right one to ask, but to his credit, Wei Ying picks up on Lan Zhan's meaning immediately. I'm taking the magazine job, he says. It'll be really good for me professionally, and it's not like a full-time thing. It's more regular contract gigs. Operative word, regular. Lan Zhan nods, frowning a little, and Wei Ying brushes his thumb over the furrow to soothe it away. I already called Zhang Chang and maybe cried to him on the phone about being overworked, and he yelled at me for being a self-sacrificing ding-dong, reminded me that he works with multiple photographers for a reason, and then lectured me about burnout for 5 minutes, before telling me he loves me and saying he'd fix this. Lan Zhan stops frowning, and Wei Ying kisses between his brows. I'm not going to work Sundays for him anymore, he says, and I'm going to take 1 week a month off from photo gigs entirely, and when I go into the cafe tomorrow, I'll tell Amelia I need to go down to 4 days a week. I think one of the college kids is looking for more hours. Lan Zhan sinks into the sofa, the lingering stress draining away from him like rainwater into the ground. Good. He gets his hands into Wei Ying's hair, cradling his head and just looking at him.
Thank you.
He hesitates, but adds,
I missed you.
I missed you too, Gaga, Wei Ying says, tearing up. I'm sorry I didn't realize it. He cups Lan Zhan's face in his hands, propped up with his elbows on Lan Zhan's chest. Is that, he asks, slowly, the words dragging out of him. Is that enough for you? Should I do more?
All I want is you, Lan Zhan says. You are always enough, Wei Ying.
It's the fact that he hasn't had Wei Ying properly for the last month or so that was the problem. He drinks him in, lingering on the curve of his cheekbone, the swell of his lip. His eyes, always beautiful, currently bloodshot from crying and overuse. And he remembers something else. He doesn't think it exactly makes his previous words a lie when he says,
I want you to get your eyesight checked.
Wei Ying blinks at him, obviously confused. That's a bit of a swerve, isn't it? Lan Zhan can see how, from Wei Ying's point of view, it's quite a non sequitur, but rather than explaining, he asks,
What time does the microwave say right now?
Wei Ying gives Lan Zhan a look that clearly says, I'm just humoring you, and twists around to check, Lan Zhan's hands dropping from his head down to his shoulders as he moves. He says, squinting. 7:23?
It is 7:38, Lan Zhan says smoothly, with a single glance.
Wei Ying whips around to look at him, almost offended, and blinks several times in rapid succession. Fuck, He says, "Shit, you can just read that?"
Lan Zhan nods, and Wei Ying deflates almost audibly.
"Fuck," he says, again, the exhaustion in his voice in addition to his face.
"Okay, yeah, I'll see if I can set something up."
"Good," Lan Zhan says, satisfied. Wei Ying will rest, and his eyes will be less strained, and he will take better care of himself, and he will do it with Lan Zhan there to help. It's all Lan Zhan wants for him.
Wei Ying settles back down against him, worrying his lower lip, and asks,
Is there...
He takes a deep breath, and his eyes are wet when he finally asks,
Are we okay?"
"We are okay," Lan Zhan confirms.
He kisses the corner of Wei Ying's mouth, the side of his nose, his temple. The next part seems unnecessary, but he thinks maybe Wei Ying will want to hear it.
"I forgive you, sweetheart."
Wei Ying sniffles, smiling and crying at the same time.
"Thank you," he says, trembling. "I love you, baby. Let's never fight again. I don't like it."
"It was unpleasant," Lan Zhan agrees, "but I have been told that sometimes fights happen."
He thumbs away a tear from Wei Ying's cheek and offers,
"Perhaps we can learn how to avoid fights getting this bad."
"Deal," Wei Ying says immediately, and seals it with a wet, salt-flavored kiss.
"Okay," he says, when they break apart, still staring at Lan Zhan's mouth. "Okay, so I just need to get through this weekend, and then I'm gonna sleep for a week, and we'll figure out some schedule stuff, okay?"
Wei Ying's phone vibrates on the coffee table, startlingly loud, and they both jolt.
"I should,"
Wei Ying says. Lan Zhan nods, and they manage to extricate themselves. Lan Zhan ferries the now cold mugs of tea to the kitchen and puts away the soup, and Wei Ying wanders in after him a little dreamily.
"Chong Chong found a pinch photographer for Sunday," he says with disbelief.
"No one's available for Friday night or the Saturday brunch, but I can have Sunday off if I want."
"Do you want?"
"Fuck yes I want," Wei Ying says, already texting. "I remember my smart boyfriend telling me something about taking days off, and now that I'm not being a pissy jerk, I'm actually listening to his advice."
He drops his phone into his robe pocket and grabs Lan Zhan's sweater at the hips, tugging on it lightly.
"And if my smart boyfriend wants, I'm going to take him to bed and make it up to him for being such a pissy jerk."
Lan Zhan, for possibly the first time since he and Wei Ying started dating, hesitates. He's not even sure why. Wei Ying freezes, fight or flight, and Lan Zhan drops his hands and grabs his wrists before he can leave again.
"Yes," he says, then, "maybe," and then, "thinking."
Wei Ying relaxes a little, and pets one of Lan Zhan's hips, while Lan Zhan tries to figure out what the fuck is going on, and how to explain it.
"I always want you," he says,
when he thinks he has the shape of it.
"But I find, I do not want it to be an apology.
It feels slimy, coercive. It sits wrong in the pit of his belly, and so many things went wrong today already, and he doesn't want to add to the tally."
"Oh," Wei Ying says, his face softening into understanding.
"Okay."
He steps a little closer and nuzzles Lan Zhan's jaw, warm breath ghosting across his skin.
"Then can it be because I love you, and I miss you, and I want to touch you all over until we're both drunk on it?"
"Yes,"
Ran Zhan breathes, no hesitation left, and he catches Wei Ying's lips with his. They kiss slow and sweet, and when they make it to the bed, that's slow and sweet too. It's barely sex, their contact practically chaste for all that they're naked together. Wei Ying pets every inch of Lan Zhan's skin until he wants to purr, kisses up the length of his spine, twines their legs together to touch as much of Lan Zhan as he possibly can. Lan Zhan returns his attentions, pressing his mouth to all the parts of Wei Ying that he missed, drinking in the contact. When Wei Ying presses him into the mattress and takes them both in hand, it's almost an afterthought. Their orgasms panted humid into each other's skin, secret and gentle. I love you, Wei Ying tells Lan Zhan's armpit later, curled against him and already drowsing at a shockingly early 8:30 p.m. We're gonna figure it out, okay? Okay, Lan Zhan says, and he believes it.